What is this, the World Cup?
Yes.
Am I supposed to be walking out of the tunnel right now? What the heck is this?
It's never a bad time to play Shakira.
That's true. That's valid. I'll give you that one. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime, taking you up until 11 o'clock. Preseason opener for the Commanders coming up tomorrow night. Watching a little bit of football right now. Kirk Cousins was surgical in his first drive for the Raiders. 5 of 6, 50 yards and a touchdown. And how about Fernando Mendoza saying, I can do the same thing. 5 of 8, 47 yards and a touchdown. He just hit Jack Besh for his first touchdown as an NFL player. Mike Washington's been impressive so far for Vegas. 5 carries for 61 yards. Ashton Jeanty got a couple of carries as well. 3 for 16. Jeremiah Love got his first action. 7 carries for 26 yards. Also caught 2 balls for 7 yards. So fun to have football back on the television. Commanders will take on the Dolphins tomorrow night at Northwest Stadium. Unfortunately for the Commanders, I'm not sure that you're going to see a ton of the starters playing necessarily. I'm interested to see exactly who plays for the Commanders. But I do think that the philosophy around the National Football League has kind of turned into, we're not going to play our guys. We're going to make sure that we stay healthy. And it's not right or wrong, necessarily. But I do think it is an interesting point of how you should handle the preseason and making sure that you're ready to go for week one, especially for the Commanders when you look at their schedule out of the gate. Before the bye week, you've got Philadelphia and Dallas on the road. You finally come home for your home opener, and that's the defending champion Seattle Seahawks. You feel like you can get into a little bit of a rhythm, except for now you go to London. Now you've got to take on the Colts in London. Then you're back home against the Giants, and then you go on the road to the West Coast to take on San Francisco on Monday Night Football, and then you finally get a bye week. It's a tough stretch to start. Doesn't get any easier out of the bye week. Philadelphia once again, and then the Rams. So it is a difficult start to the Commanders' schedule. You got to make sure you're ready to go. They've run a more difficult camp, a more competitive camp. That's definitely been something that Dan Quinn has emphasized. He talked about it during OTAs and minicamp, and I think he has carried through that this is a much more intense training camp. I wouldn't say that it's the most intense training camp. It's not like it's the Kansas City Chiefs training camp, but it has been much more competitive than last season. But now we get our first chance to see if any of the philosophy has changed in terms of playing guys in the preseason. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night with that. Thought it was interesting earlier today, Beamich and Finley were talking a little bit about this. And one of the things that Beamich pointed out is you see other teams around the National Football League playing their guys in the preseason. And it's not like it's just nobody's. Patrick Mahomes is going to play in the preseason. Well, Pat maybe won't this season because he's injured, but he's played in the preseason before. I saw Jordan Love playing earlier today. So other teams play their guys. It's not as if no one does it. Now, Sean McVay, others decide that they don't want to play anybody. But I thought this discussion was interesting earlier from Beamich and Finley about the discussion about whether you play your dudes or not.
When I watched the first game on September, what is it, 13th, 14th, or something, 13th?
13th.
I'm going to judge things based off of how the approach goes during preseason. Because my experience tells me when you ease through it, you're not necessarily where you want to be in that first week. You can still get where you want to go at the end of the season. And normally you see more veteran teams that can do that where they can not really go as much. And then they get into the season, they boom, they're ready to go because they understand it. This team has a lot of veteran players, but it's a lot of young guys who you're depending on. And I wonder if those guys would be ready to just hit the ground going. You know, like on a commercial, I mean, on a cartoon, the guy's legs are moving in the air and they hit the ground. When they're gone, I want to see if they can do that.
I like that point from Beamich because you can do whatever you'd like getting ready for the season. Doesn't really affect me. But I can tell you this. When I turn on the TV on September 13th at 4:25, and they're taking the field at the Link in Philadelphia. Now it's Judgment Day. Now I get to decide whether, when I watch, whether you did the appropriate work or not. And I get to see if you're ready to go or not. And for this team, you better be ready to go. Like I already laid out, it's a difficult start to the schedule. And I think for this team in particular, the reason I think it's so interesting is you've got two new coordinators. And it's not like you went from, okay, you got Joe Witt to run in the Dan Quinn type of scheme. We got another guy that's running a Dan Quinn type of scheme. And all right, so it's a different coordinator, but it's the same type of scheme. All right, we're going from Cliff Kingsbury. We're going to another air raid college type of offense. No. This is stark difference from what we saw last season on both sides of the football. Both sides. And I think you've got to at least get some reps in. I know the joint practice can be useful. I understand that that is work that teams around the National Football League value, in some cases even more than a preseason game, because a preseason game cannot be scripted. A joint practice can be. We can work on goal line. We can work on situational football. We can do those sorts of things versus a preseason game. You're playing a game. You can't script anything. You don't know what's going to happen in the game. You also can protect players a little bit more in a joint practice. I understand that. So I get the value of getting in the work there. There's also something to be said, and Doc brings this up all the time. There's something to be said when you're playing football and it's live. And that goes for everybody, the quarterback included. Knowing when I step out there, I can't hold on to the ball for forever. I'm going to get killed in the pocket. I got to get rid of the football. I got to do this and that. I actually get to break a tackle if I'm a running back. I get to make plays with the football in my hands. It means a little bit more when it's live. You can't replicate that in a practice. You just can't. And so I think getting those reps can be incredibly valuable in the preseason, especially for a team that is learning new systems and just being able to go out there and put it into action to see how you can look running the system, to see what that looks like, to see how you play in these systems. I think that can be incredibly valuable. And it's going full speed. It's going live. I think that can be very useful for this team. And you've got a lot of young guys that you're relying on, to be Mitch's point. You've got guys that are still learning the ropes here in the National Football League. And so I think it's an interesting approach. Now, if I had to guess, I would bet that Dan Quinn is going to live on the more conservative than aggressive side in terms of who plays and who doesn't. I would bet you don't see Jaden Daniels at all tomorrow. I'd bet you see maybe Marcus Mariota for a couple of series, and then it's going to get turned over to the other guys. Am I going to see Josh Connerly? Am I going to see Brandon Coleman? Am I going to see some of the other starters, quote-unquote? I don't know that you're going to see Adafe Owe. Should I? I don't know. Should I see Kalavon Chase on those sorts of guys? Again, you can take whatever approach you'd like, but I just can't have it come out of the gate slow with this type of a schedule and say, well, we're just easing into the season. That's not acceptable. That's what this is for, to get ready. I want to play another clip. We'll do that on the other side because I do think there is some risk reward to this, but I do think there's another risk of not playing your guys other than, you know, making sure that you keep them healthy. I think there is a risk here. 800-636-1067. Do you think we should see starters tomorrow? How much starters you want to see in the preseason in general? Again, 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime on The Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you for about another hour and 45 minutes. Talking about the Commanders, preseason opener coming up tomorrow against the Miami Dolphins. If you'd like to hop in, 800-636-1067. I'll give you some of the things that I'll be watching for tomorrow night, some of the players I'll be watching for tomorrow night in about 15 minutes. But right now, back to the idea of not playing the starters in the preseason. I think it's an interesting discussion about what the right method is. I don't know that there's ever going to be a definitive right or wrong method, but You know, as B-Mitch said, we played the clip for you in the last segment. Judgment Day, or the day that you get to figure out whether you did it right or not, is week one when the Commanders step on the field at the Link a month from today. But I also think it's interesting that you look around the National Football League and there are other teams that have star players. Because I know immediately Jaden Daniels, if he's out there or if he's not out there, some fans are going to, you know, be on the side of whatever they decide to do. But it's not as if we haven't seen really good quarterbacks or even really good players at other positions play in the preseason. And that was something that JP brought up with B-Mitch. I want to play this clip for you from B-Mitch and Finley of them talking about other players playing for other teams. From B-Mitch and Finley earlier today, here's JP and B-Mitch talking about that.
To me, it's all risk-reward. And the risk is far greater than the reward. Even if it's a series. Like, I think what did we see last year? The season swung when Jaden couldn't play. And I just don't see the value of an August game being significant enough. Maybe next week in Detroit, you want to get him a little bit of work where you're still almost 4 weeks out from week one.
Yeah, but like I know that, but I understand the way people do stuff today. But you watch other teams that have guys that are same level, same quality, and they play. And it just makes you think, which way is right? I don't know which way is right, but I know one thing. The people that are ready to hit the ground running on first week are the guys who play football.
And I think that's the key. I don't really care what you do as long as you're ready to hit the ground running. But in general, it feels like other teams that play their guys start season stronger than teams that don't. And if you're willing to ease into the season, I personally wouldn't like that. But you've only got 17 games. This isn't like baseball where it's like, well, you lost today. Oh, well, on to the next one. You have some wiggle room. But it's not like you can lose 9 games and be like, all right, we're good. You know, if you start in an 0-3 hole, that's going to be tough to dig out of. And I think the risk you run here, because I think JP's point is correct. It's risk-reward. And I think the risk is obviously you could have an injury. You could have a major injury and you lose a guy for the season. I'd argue you could have that happen in practice as well. You know, maybe not at the quarterback position as much because of the non-contact jerseys and those sorts of things. But it's not like Laremy Tunsil got hurt in a preseason game. He got hurt in practice. Like, that stuff is going to happen. Unfortunately, the way that football works, there are going to be injuries. The Sean McVay tree is going to tell you that I'll take my chances with having everybody healthy and having to knock off some of the rust or having to work through some of the early struggles, because I just rather would start with a full cast of characters. And I think that's completely valid. I think that is something that obviously is a major reason why he doesn't play the starters much in the preseason, if at all. And I think that's probably the general thought process around the National Football League. But you're seeing a little bit of a change in Cincinnati right now, where Cincinnati, historically, under Zach Taylor, has gotten off to atrocious starts. They always finish the season strong. They always come out and play horribly and dig themselves such a hole that it's a uphill climb the rest of the way, and then they finally get into it at the end of the season, but they dug themselves such a deep hole they can't get out of it by the end of the year. And so they're starting to change their approach. Joe Burrow was playing tonight. He got sacked in his first possession. That's risk. You could have him get hurt. I remember last year watching him play, and he's getting drilled. You don't want that to happen. I get that. But I also think the risk you can run when you don't play your guys is not being ready to play football out the gate and being sloppy. And last season, didn't play their guys a whole lot, lighter training camp, and they did not look ready to go. You cannot have a repeat of last season in terms of getting out of the gate. If you start the same way you did last season coming out of the gate, you're probably starting 0-3, maybe 1-2. And who knows if you're beating Indy in London. Who knows if you're going to beat, you know, I would like to say that you're going to beat the Giants, but I don't know that you're going on the road to San Francisco and winning in week six. You've got to be ready to go. And I think there is a risk of not playing your guys and not being ready to go. Because one of the things that has been a narrative around this team, and again, I think valid narrative, but I would just like to point out from the flip side, one of the narratives is, all right, they're going to go into Philadelphia. They're going to go into Dallas weeks one and two, and no one's going to really know what they're running. They'll have an idea, but David Blau has never called an offense before, so they don't know his sequencing. They don't know exactly what his play design is. They're assuming it's going to be Ben Johnson style, but how do you watch film and get ready for a David Blau offense when I don't know what David Blau's offense looks like? Think back to 2012 and RG3's rookie season. That offense that they ran against the Saints in week one, they didn't. How are they supposed to be ready for that? They didn't get any film to watch. They didn't know what the heck was getting run there. It's a similar type of thing here. Now, it's not going to be an RPO, you know, cutting-edge, brand-new scheme necessarily, but it is something that they don't have film to study for. Dallas will have 1 week to work off of in Philadelphia. Same thing on the defensive side of the ball. You just assume it's going to be the Flores scheme, but how does it look with their guys? Are there other wrinkles to it? How is Durante Jones going to attack a third and short? How is Durante Jones going to go after you on first and 10? So they're going to have some of the disguise of teams not knowing a whole lot about them. At the same point, on the flip side, it's a problem if you feel like you have that on your side, but then you still can't execute what you're trying to do because you aren't fully sure on what you're trying to do. Again, if they show up September 13th and it's no issue and they're just rolling, then we're going to look back at however they handled the preseason and go totally fine. I just certainly hope that they're correct this time around. Because last time around, they were not. This time, they've upped the intensity at training camp. I would assume they're still going to go pretty light in the preseason games. I'm hoping that that's correct. I'm hoping that that's the right approach and they're ready to roll week one and they can continue doing that going forward. I just hope that they are fully understanding of what their scheme is by a month's time from now when they take on Philadelphia and that they're able to execute everything. Because then you do have the element of surprise to an extent. You have that unfamiliarity versus I just don't want you to walk into this and you're still unsure about yourself because you haven't run enough full speed reps against other opponents. But that's why the joint practices are so important. They just had one against Miami yesterday, and they'll have one more against Baltimore. Those two dates, if they're not going to play their guys in the preseason, I'd definitely not play them a lot. Those two dates are probably the two most important dates on their preseason calendar because that's where you can get the most work in. That's where you're going up against a different opponent and facing somebody else, and the intensity is raised. Not to the level of game, because it's not live, but closer to a game level than a typical practice level. And I thought yesterday you could see the team look pretty sharp. And I don't want to be the guy that puts them in a lose-lose situation, where it's like, oh, it's the Dolphins. They played a far inferior team, and they played like the better team all day. Great. Were there problems? Sure, interior O-line didn't look great. Couldn't run the football. Yeah, that's a problem. But I would say overall, they looked really, really good. And I'm not going to hold it against them that it's against the Dolphins. You can't really control that. So credit to them. But you certainly hope that they're going to be ready when it comes week one. 800-636-1067. Tomorrow is the preseason opener. Who are some guys you're looking out for? What are some things you'll be watching tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Northwest Stadium? What is going to stand out to you? What are you looking for in the preseason opener tomorrow? I'll give you some of my thoughts on that next. Again, 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Toby Altizer with you here on The Fan. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up till 11 o'clock, about an hour and a half left. Want to hop in? Feel free. 800-636-1067. Commanders have their preseason opener coming up tomorrow night at Northwest Stadium, taking on the Miami Dolphins at 7 o'clock. Question is, who or what are you most interested to see in the game tomorrow? We'll get your guys' thoughts behind the glass here in just a couple of moments of who you're looking forward to seeing or what you're looking forward to seeing, but I'll give you a couple of the ones that I'm looking forward to. One of the things that I'm excited to see, Deami Brown versus Van Jefferson. I don't know who's going to make the roster in terms of receivers. When you start looking at that receiving room, though, it gets pretty... It goes from being something that was very light to now having probably, I don't know, eight guys that you feel pretty confident can play at an NFL level. So if you just start Terry McLaurin, Stephon Diggs, Antonio Williams, those are the three Sharpie players currently on the Commanders roster at the receiver position. Behind them, Luke McCaffrey's had one of the better camps of all the receivers, and he's a good kick returner. Jalen Lane is a difference maker in the punt return game, which I would say is a little bit more valuable than the kick return game, just in terms of it's more of a niche skill versus a kick returner. I think you can find guys that can return kicks, just the new nature of them. Treylon Burks is someone that I'd like for them to keep. I've really liked what I've seen from him at camp, and he just gives you a different dynamic than some of the other guys because of his size. And I think he can give you something in the red zone, maybe a little bit after the catch as well, being a kind of a rumble, stumble type of receiver. But he just gives you a little bit different of a dynamic than the other receivers because of that size. So that's already six guys right there. Are you going to keep seven? Because if you are, then it comes down to Deami Brown and Van Jefferson. Or are either one of those guys going to jump a Treylon Burks or a Jalen Lane or a Luke McCaffrey to make the roster? And so I think in order to make that decision a little more difficult for Adam Peters and company, you'd like to see Deami or Van or both show out in the preseason. Maybe you could trade a receiver, whether it's one of those two. I don't think you'd get anything for either of those guys, but could you get back a late-round pick for somebody else and they take a spot potentially? Me personally, I'd like to see Deami make the roster. He's got a chemistry with Jaden Daniels that I'm not sure that anyone else on the team has currently, just in terms of what he's able... Well, I get okay, except for Terry McLaurin, I guess, I should say. You know, him and Terry obviously have that special connection going back to 24. But whatever Deami unlocked in the playoffs in 24, you've seen a little bit of some of that carry over into this iteration of Deami Brown. Wearing number six now, a little bit different. But he has stood out multiple times at camp in his ability to be able to get open deep and create separation and allow Jaden to find him deep down the field. And he gives you a little bit more of a deep threat than Van Jefferson does. And I think he's got the leg up on Van Jefferson in that sense. And I think he gives you just another guy that he's deeper down the depth chart, but he at least allows you to have a field stretcher that is reliable. Maybe Luke McCaffrey takes that role eventually and becomes that reliable weapon down the field that you hoped you were getting when you drafted him number 100 overall in 2024, but you don't rely on that necessarily. You've got Deami there just in case. Maybe Lane can take that step forward at some point, but I'm not real confident yet in him as a receiver. I know what he's going to give you as a punt returner and on special teams, but I'm still not as confident of what I'm going to get out of him on the offensive side of the football. So I think it's interesting watching that battle throughout training camp. Both have had flashes. Both have played really well, I'd say, throughout camp. I just still don't know that either one of them is a lock to make the roster. What are some of the other things you're watching? 800-636-1067. I'm intrigued to watch the rookies. I want to get Wes's thoughts on this. Sonny Styles going to throw on the pads, playing his first NFL game tomorrow night. I'm excited to watch him play football. It's funny to me that the narrative around Sonny for a little bit became, well, he was a combine warrior, but I don't know how good of a football player he is. He's a great football player. And I think he's someone that it's tough for him to always stand out in practice because of how much it can be weighted to the offense at times. You think about like a 7-on-7 drill and those sorts of things. But every time the pads have come on, it feels like he pops because you notice him being able to stuff the run. I still would like to see a little more from him in pass coverage in terms of what he can give you there. I know that he's going to be able to do well there. It's just I don't know that I've seen him flash a lot. And some of that, again, it's practice and those sorts of things. But that's why I'm intrigued to see him tomorrow night. I love watching him play. He's so good, so fluid as an athlete. Every time you listen to him talk, he sounds like a 15-year vet. Wes, you've got to be fired up to watch this dude.
I know. It's been too long since I've seen Sonny play. Got to see him several times in college. I mean, both years that he was in the linebacking position, 46-plus solo tackles each year. And this is a guy that, Toby, we've talked about this several times. He started at Ohio State as a safety. And you saw what he did once Caleb Downs came in from Alabama. He rocked that position. He was just modernized it completely.
Yeah, he's going to be someone. I go back to this all the time. When I think of Durante Jones' defense and that Brian Flores type of scheme, I think of linebackers having to have the ability to be mugged up on the line of scrimmage and be able to drop deep into coverage. Say you're trying to get 15 yards of depth or something of that nature, dropping into the deep middle of a zone. There aren't a lot of linebackers that can do that at a speed that they could beat a wide receiver to the spot, or they can beat a tight end to the spot who might have a little bit of a head start on them. Sonny can get there. Sonny can. Fred Warner can. You know, those types of linebackers can. Sonny's going to give you that. And I haven't necessarily seen enough of that at camp. Again, some of that is just who knows exactly what they're running, and maybe he is. At times, frankly, it's a little bit tough. That's why I enjoy watching, you know, after the fact in games. You can go back and diagnose stuff a little bit better from the All-22 angle. You don't get replays at practice. You can't film it.
You said you're worried about his pass coverage?
I haven't seen him flash in pass coverage, but I think he'll be fine there.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that that is a place where he needs to develop. I mean, he's 21 years old. If he doesn't have room to develop, Then that's not, you don't draft him at number 7. It's the peak value that you can get him at. He had one interception at Ohio State at linebacker. So it is possible that that's a place where they're working on with him.
Yeah, I think he's a fluid mover. I think there's still some work to be done there, and that's something that I'm just interested to see, is put him into real live action. What does he look like? I was impressed. It was River Craycraft. It was a couple practices ago. I think it was Tuesday. Maybe it was Monday's practice. They all run together. But Sonny carried River Craycraft running straight up the seam, and it felt like he never even fully opened it up to keep up with them. That's such a special thing to have at the linebacker position. It's not like Craycraft is necessarily the fastest guy in the world, but that's somebody that's made a living off of being a shifty slot guy, and he's running straight up the seam, and Sonny Styles was stride for stride. You can't throw that football there. There's not a lot of linebackers that are going to keep up in that spot. I can tell you this, Bobby Wagner wasn't keeping up in that spot last year. I think Frankie or Leo Chenal is probably in a tougher position to try to keep up with that type of a player in that situation, versus Sonny can do it without even feeling like he's hitting the sprint button on Madden. Like he's just keeping up stride for stride. So I'm excited to see him. Antonio Williams, I think, is going to be fun to watch. For fans that haven't had a chance to see him working out at practice, I think they're going to be in for a treat. This is a guy that I was on a draft show when he was picked with Linnell, and Linnell wasn't as big of a fan as the pick. I think he likes it now, but at the time didn't necessarily love it because he felt like he was going to only play in the slot. He's played a lot outside from what I've seen at camp, and he runs routes like a vet. He's got that route savvy that younger guys generally don't have coming into the league. Being able to vary tempos, to understand where he needs to be to get to that spot, but doesn't have to be there too quick. But shaking a guy and being able to create separation. I think fans are going to fall in love with this guy when they get to watch him play football. And I think he's going to be a real difference maker. Even if it's not fully as a rookie, I think he's someone that's going to make a big difference for this team going forward. And let's say Diggs is only here for a season. Diggs moves differently than everybody else. It's just so obvious watching him. But if they needed a guy that can give you some Stephon Diggs-esque things in terms of route running and being open and creating that separation after this season, I think Antonio Williams can give you some of those things. I think he's a special receiver, and I'm excited to see what he's going to be able to do. So he'll get his first action as a pro tomorrow night as well. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to chime in. Who or what are you interested in watching for the preseason opener tomorrow night against the Dolphins? I want to talk about a couple of other guys I'll be watching and a unit in particular that I'll be watching to see how they play tomorrow night against Miami. Again, 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer with you here on Overtime on The Fan. Overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 11 o'clock. 800-636-1067 if you'd like to hop in. Who or what are you interested in seeing for tomorrow's preseason opener for the Commanders against the Miami Dolphins? So, Sonny Styles, obviously someone I'm very interested to see. Antonio Williams, the rookies in general. Joshua Josephs, I think, might be near the top of this list. Maybe even over a Sonny Styles. Because I've seen some real flashes with Sonny in practice, and I have an understanding that he's going to play a lot this season. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the green dot pretty soon. I personally would prefer him to be the green dot right away. If possible, I'm not all that worried about him being able to handle that responsibility. And frankly, I'd prefer him be on the field for basically every snap. I think he impacts the game in so many different facets. I think he can handle just playing almost every snap out there, regardless if he does or not. Joshua Josephs is someone that's flashed all camp. And now I want to see him in a real opportunity to go out there and play football against another team. What does he look like? How can they use him? He's such a fluid athlete, and he's able to get around the edge. But I think the thing that impresses me the most is his ability to be fluid if he needs to drop back in coverage. Honestly, the first thing I saw, so going back to rookie minicamp, I thought it was funny. I love when, you know, sometimes I'll post some videos for the 106.7 social media. And it's funny the things that fans gravitate towards on social media and the things that they'll notice that maybe I won't notice. So I took a video of Sonny Styles. He was making a play in pass coverage. It was kind of just like a shell sort of thing. There were no routes or anything. It was just more so like a, hey, drop into the shell of this coverage, and then they threw a ball and Sonny picked it off and started running the other way, whatever. So I post that, and everyone immediately goes, who the heck is this Josephs guy? He can move. And you go back and watch the clip, and he's so fluid in the way that he's able to drop into coverage after lining up off the edge. It almost reminds you of a Van Ginkle and what he's been able to do throughout his career, where he's more edge rusher than outside linebacker, but when you need him to drop out, he doesn't look out of place. That's how I would describe Joshua Josephs. Now, he's a bit raw as a pass rusher. He's got moves. I think he's got to work on some of the technique and fundamentals of it. Sometimes he can get a little too far up the field, a little bit too wide on those sorts of plays. But I think overall, you really like what you got in the fifth rounder out of Tennessee and Joshua Josephs, where I think he can give you some reps at edge rusher this season, and you wouldn't feel like, uh-oh, we're in a bad spot here. I think he's going to get a real chance. And I'm excited to see him get some more reps and grow. And again, when you get to some of these later round picks, maybe they're not going to make an impact right away. But as long as you can see this guy can play, now it's about developing him and building off of some of the good that you've seen from him. And Joshua Josephs has flashed so many times at camp. Him, along with a lot of the edge rushers, frankly, have flashed. And you can see the difference this season versus last season among that group. There's just so much more juice. The style of defense they're playing creates a lot more juice in the pass rush. So I'm excited to see him. And Ketron Allen, I want to see if he can. So just to put it into context, like when you've got a back that is of Ketron's style, that prototype of the power back, at times it can be tough for that kind of a player to shine through in training camp because of the fact that pads aren't on for a majority of the time. You're not ever going to the ground, so you're just kind of assuming tackles when they either wrap up or get close to a wrap up, right? Like they tap you. It's almost like a two-hand touch sort of situation with a wrap up. Like you don't get a chance to run through tackles when you're going in practice. That's Katron's game, running through tackles. He's got a little more wiggle than I expected. Just watching him get the ball in open space. It's not like he's a shifty running back by any means, but I've seen him a couple of times in space be able to shake some defenders. And so I want to see him tomorrow. When he gets the football, frankly, he has to show that he can be that power back because he doesn't get more many opportunities to do so in a practice type of setting. So in a game, that's where a Chris Rodriguez type of player really shines, when he's bouncing off tacklers and he turns a 2-yard run into a 4-yard run, or he turns a 4-yard run into an 8-yard run, and those sorts of things where you just can't bring this guy down. It's 2 and 3 and 4 guys having to bring the back down. That, to me, is where Katron needs to shine, is in this type of a setting where it's real football, it's live, you're going to the ground. That's when he can show himself as special, not necessarily when he's running around in shells. And so this is a big opportunity for him. I think he's going to play quite a bit tomorrow. I think they feel good about their top two backs in Bill Kroski Merritt and Rashad White. I don't think they're real worried about what they're going to see there. You know, I think you want to see some more out of Bill in terms of pass pro. His hands have looked really good in camp, but I don't know that you're necessarily worried about seeing that right now in the first preseason game. I think they want to see a lot of Katron Allen and kind of prove, like, all right, here's your chance, and let's see why we took you in the 6th round. And I think he's got a big opportunity. The unit that I'll be watching the closest tomorrow overall is the offensive line. They got their lunch handed to them in the interior against this same Miami Dolphins team in the Giants practice. What are they going to look like against that same unit tomorrow night in live action? I'm curious to see who all plays. I would assume you want to see Brandon Coleman play at left tackle. I'd like to see, frankly, I would prefer to see the whole starting offensive line play. Maybe you see Chris Paul, Julian Good-Jones. I still don't think that can be your plan at center. I just don't. But I would like to see him play. Sam Cosmi, maybe I can understand. I don't see how you could not play Josh Connerly. Coming off of a rookie season that was up and down, I thought he played poorly at the beginning of the year, started to come on in the middle to end, and then struggled a little bit more at the end of the season. I'd like to see him play right tackle. I don't think he's fully established himself enough yet to not play in tomorrow's game, but we'll see if he gets on the field. Regardless, that unit itself, I want to see how they play, and specifically the interior, because I talk about Katron Allen. Can you open up some holes for him? You look at the starting quarterback, I would assume it's going to be Marcus Mariota. Then it'll probably go to like Sam Hartman or Kalei Akmanis, and they'll handle a majority of it. I'm not all that worried about the quarterback play. It's not going to be all that high once you get behind Mariota. But how are you holding up in protection? How are you opening up holes in the run game against a Miami Dolphins team that's not all that good? They've got some players on the D-line. I like Kenneth Grant out of Michigan, Chop Robinson, obviously Josh Uche. But they don't have that great of a defensive line. I can tell you who they don't have a better defensive line than, the Philadelphia Eagles. That's who you're running into week one. The Dallas Cowboys and Quinnen Williams and company, that's who you're running into week two. And then week three, you're running into the Seattle Seahawks. So you better be ready to go with the offensive line. They've got real questions now. I like Brandon Coleman at left tackle. I think that he can play there. I've been advocating for him to be on the field all of last season when they decided to go with Chris Paul. I think he's one of their 5 best linemen. So I'm excited for him to get another chance. I'd prefer it not to be at Laremy Tunsil's expense. But I actually think they're going to be okay at that spot. Not plus like they were with Tunsil. I think they'll be okay. I think Paul is fine. Center is a major question, though. Their plan cannot be Julian Good-Jones. It just cannot be. And I know Nick Allegretti should be back soon, but what happens if Allegretti gets hurt in the season? He's barely practiced already. He got hurt in the first practice. So I don't know. That one's a serious head scratcher for me. And that's something I'll be watching tomorrow. Luckily, to Good Jones's credit, last season in training camp, when he would snap the football from shotgun, it was awful. This year, it's been much better. Now, part of that is they're in shotgun a lot less. But to his credit, his snapping and shotgun has gotten better. So there's my positive thing I'll say about Julian Good Jones. But we'll see. That'll be someone I'll be watching, and that unit in particular, that O-line, how do they look against Miami tomorrow? All right, we got the NBA schedule released today. Got some key dates for the Washington Wizards. I'm excited about this Wizards season. I don't know the last time going into a Wizards season I felt this excited. I've been excited the last couple of seasons, but this is a new level with A.J. DeBonsa. I'll give you some of the key dates on the Wizards schedule next. If you'd like to hop in, 800-636-1067. Final hour of overtime comes up next.